Happy holidays. Thank you for listening to this, The Human Santipede, an incomparable classic. Just a reminder, you can listen to this and pretty much every other incomparable episode ad-free, plus a whole bunch of other things, by becoming a member. And then you don't have to listen to all the ads that we put in the regular part of the podcast. Go to theincomparable.com/members to learn more.
The Incomparable, number 173, December 2010.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Incomparable. I'm your host, Jason Snell, and it's still the holidays, and we're going to talk about holiday music, which I know is a little bit of a departure for me, but I think this should be a fun holiday topic. You'll be the judge of whether it was actually fun as you listen. I have a very nice collection of people here to talk about holiday music, things we like, things we don't like. And to get it all started, I want to welcome Monty Ashley. Hi, Monty.
Hi.
Are you having a holly jolly Christmas?
I set up a tree yesterday, but I got a bigger tree than I have ornaments for it, so it's really kind of sparse right now.
Do you have holly?
No.
Do you have jolly?
Yes.
Okay, halfway there. Just get some holly and you're good. You're set. Steve Lutz is also here. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jason. Yes, I'm here, and I'm ill-prepared and bringing nothing to the table as usual.
Oh, good. We'll get more letters then, so that's excellent. Thank you.
Ugh.
I feel lonely when people don't write in and tell me how you've ruined the podcast, so thank you.
Maybe next time you'll get a Christmas card to that effect.
I can only hope. Erica Ensign is back. We only receive letters praising her presence on the podcast. Hi, Erica.
Aw, shucks.
You're like the anti-Steve.
Oh, no. And we're on the same podcast together. Shouldn't things be exploding?
Well, no, we just keep things evened out.
Give it time.
That works.
David Lohr is also here. Hi, David.
Hello there.
Holly and Jolly?
And Ivy, too.
Wow.
Holly Jolly would eat Ivy, too, wouldn't you? I don't even know what that means.
Not a
wow.
Yeah. And Tippecanoe and Tyler. Wait a second. That has nothing to do with the holidays.
4440 or
Mary
fight.
Mary Z. Dotes and Little Lambs Eat Ivy.
That voice you heard is Lisa Schmeiser, who's also here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
And she has bells.
I did. I brought my jingle
She's
bells.
Here with bells on.
Somebody may wrestle the bells away from her later, but for now she has the bells. And Philip Michaels joins us, the world's foremost expert on holiday music.
Mm. I wouldn't say that.
Neither would I.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I noticed that I'm also only on the podcast when there are 12,000 other people. What's up with that? I can carry a show, you know.
You're magnetic. We feel we must be here when you're here.
Exactly. Mr. Michaels will now spend the next 20 minutes discoursing on holiday music by himself.
Yeah. Go. And we'll just listen. We're just here to listen, man. Mm-hmm. Also, you're here to bounce at Steve, so, you know.
Yeah. No, I feel like when Phil's on the podcast, I don't actually have to say much because he'll carry the weight.
I would like letter writers of the future to know that I have 2 pages full of notes.
Wow.
For tonight's podcast.
It's true, he does. Mm-hmm.
So you're really counterbalancing me, who is ill-prepared.
But I have no holly because she split, man.
Well, I have notes, and my Twitter handle has holly in it, so...
Dang. Yeah. Okay, point to Erica. All right, fair enough.
Yes!
But this is the holiday season. It's not about who wins or who loses, and we know Steve's going to lose, so it doesn't really matter. So, Steve, star of Skinflint : Country Christmas Carol.
That's me.
Refer to our previous episode for more information about that. And you can write letters if you like. Anyway, so holiday music. There's so much in holiday music, so much good, so much terrible. I thought maybe we would start on the positive side and talk about what makes us like holiday music and the things about it that we actually like. But I suppose, as always, I should ask, especially for those who have many pages of notes, if anyone has any opening remarks, John Syracuse style, this would be a good time, I guess.
I have a mixed relationship with holiday music. Some of it, as you say, I like, although the stuff that I like is, and I'm sure this is fairly typical of everyone else on the line, the stuff I like is the stuff that is particular to my personal taste. I like bluesy and country and sad music. And so the holiday music I like tends to be bluesy and country and sad. What I don't really care for is just by way of background, here in San Francisco, we have a radio station.
KOIT.
KOIT, yes. Mm-hmm. That the day after Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving, right on Thanksgiving.
This year they did it the day before Thanksgiving. Their shtick is that they play nothing nothing but Christmas music.
A month's worth of Christmas music.
Mm-hmm. But their playlist is like 24 songs.
Yeah, because the problem with stations like Coit or your local Mega Mall or anything is that...
Wash FM, for people who might be living in Washington, D.C., does the same thing.
So now we've covered two cities. Are there any other radio stations in this country that play radio?
Collect them all.
Let me Google that for
you. Okay, you Google that and I'll keep talking.
Louisville has one too. And they started the day before Thanksgiving.
So this is a scourge that crosses the country, perhaps the world.
And what you want when you're picking holiday music for a mass market, you want things that are peppy and up and happy and don't really mention God too much because that might put people off. And mention lots of snow, even if you're living in a portion of the country that if it snows on Christmas, it's a sign of the apocalypse. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Or if you're Australian. Frankly.
Right. Somewhere, Australia is always burning. So if the snow comes on, it's a Christmas miracle.
I understand the beds are burning quite frequently down there.
The time has come, Fels.
They're a passionate people.
It's our midnight oil episode all of a sudden. I don't know how that happened.
Wow. This took an unexpected turn there.
But anyhow, a lot of the Christmas music out there is quite terrible. And for a while, I collected it until I came to my senses. And now it's allowed me to seek out things I actually like so that there are, a couple dozen songs. I have a playlist of 24 songs too, Lisa. And except they're things that I like and not like Neil Diamond doing his Christmas album as it was a few years ago.
I really love that Neil Diamond sings the hell out of Christmas carols.
Well, it's like, and this is the...
Because you can practically hear him thinking, come on, bank account.
Well, and this is the other thing about a lot of Christmas music. It is clearly a cash grab. It is someone came to the superstar of the day or the fading legend and said, hey baby, love what you're doing, but you better crank out a Christmas album because people will buy it.
And I thought this was going to start in the positive, and it's totally not.
Come on.
I think it's going to stay here, quite frankly.
Parts of people's brains are disconnected, I think, when it comes to buying Christmas music versus other music. It's like, oh, it's the holidays. What? You mean Mariah Carey has a Christmas album? She has more than one? I'll buy them all. And then, like, logic escapes you, and you're like, it's the holiday season, yay. And then you ask yourself, oh, God, what have I done?
I have found that I am the opposite of that. I was doing a little research for today because Weezer actually has a couple of Christmas songs that I like, so I was trying to find them. And it turns out they did an entire Christmas album, but the Christmas album is just them doing Christmas carols. So I looked at the song list and immediately went, I do not want that. I will not be buying it.
No.
Research, Steve. People actually do it.
What I've found with my own Christmas carols is if I have a strong sentimental attachment to the song because I associate with a really specific event or time in my life, it doesn't matter that it's bad. And I think perhaps the best example of this, and this also shows how old I am, is I'm a huge sucker for the Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, no.
And I can't help it, but it comes on and all of a sudden I'm singing along with everyone. I'm like, no, you, Paul Young. No,
oh,
you, Sting.
At least
so
there will be no snow in Africa this Christmas.
Yeah,
have you ever sat down and dissected the lyrics of Do They Know It's Christmas?
There's nothing wrong with the clanging chimes of doom, okay?
The lyrics make no sense whatsoever, but I can just remember being in seventh grade and watching the video with like 1,000 of my closest girlfriends and all of us like passing out in excitement over watching George Michael or Simon Le Bon or what have you. And so every time I hear that song, there's that little bit of adolescent rush when the boundaries of your Christmas are just beginning to expand from family to, you know, your wider community to your girlfriends to
George
little
Michael.
Christmas rituals you have with your friends and your friends.
And you haven't yet learned about gay men. So you're still excited to see George Michael. And well, boy, George.
I was never a big George Michael fan. I prefer Duran Duran. But no, like, I know, objectively speaking, I know the song is terrible. Objectively speaking, it's really embarrassing every time I sing along with Bono. Well, tonight, thank God it's them. And yet, every time it comes on, I am belling along at the top of my lungs in the car.
How can you even do that? There's no melody to the song. It just kind of meanders here and there.
That makes it easy.
For those of us with limited musical talent, having no melody is probably a gift. So
I'm on Lisa's side. I'm a big fan of Do They Know It's Christmas.
It's the dumbest song on the planet, and yet I really like it.
I came into that song already a fan of Bob Geldof because I love the Boomtown Rats. I was excited that he was getting some more public exposure, and then he became super famous, and it was less fun. Although the version of Do They Know It's Christmas I have on my Christmas playlist is actually by the comedy Death Ray Choir from the podcast Comedy Death Ray.
Yes.
So it's got things like Brian Posehn and Doug Benson.
Oh, wow.
Really, the only musical thing to recommend that version is the one line that Garfunkel and Oates do. There's also Weird Al on it.
The version that I have on my playlist is by the Custard Kings, and it mashes up that and Snoopy's Christmas, and it's called Do They Know It's Snoopy's Christmas.
Why have you not played this?
I've played that for
we
you.
We live under the same roof.
Every year I play it for you, and you block it out because you're like waiting for Simon Le Bon to show up and take you away from all this.
I feel like we're just guest stars on the Phil and Lisa podcast, right?
This is the best Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf I've ever heard.
Martha, Martha, I played the song for you.
You have ugly talents, Martha.
Quiet, Martha. Wow. Martha, stop laughing.
Oh my God.
I'm just imagining how much editing I have to do now. Wow, this is amazing.
I'm deliberately trying to laugh away from the microphone because I didn't want to break this.
It doesn't matter. The microphone's here. All.
It's going to be a long night.
Can we all agree that Vince Guaraldi's Charlie Brown soundtrack is classic Christmas music?
Wonderful.
Will you give me that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Best Christmas album I own, and I own quite a few.
I will, but I have a friend who grew up without it.
I agree, although the music is not really Christmas related, which I think is interesting.
No, I have a friend who grew up who had never seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and she got introduced to the album as an adult, and she's like, oh, it leaves me cold.
Ugh.
I can't handle it. I don't like it. So I wonder, again, I think objectively speaking, it's I like his piano style. I like the arrangements. But I also wonder how much of it is also, I strongly associate it with seeing and enjoying the specials as a child, too.
Does it matter?
I haven't seen that in years. I don't even remember the music.
Yeah, there's adorable cartoon characters dancing in your head, sort of dancing.
Our daughter is currently obsessed with the Charlie Brown special, so we've seen it every night for the past 5 nights, I think, at this point.
It's a great, yeah. Though, it's a great album.
That's present wrapping music. That's what I put on when I go to wrap presents. And that's what puts me in the spirit. That's the official start of the Christmas season.
Okay, so Steve, you say you've got a lot of Christmas music. What's the stuff that you have that you like?
Oh, there's actually, you know, I was going to say, I was surprised because I sat down to do my usual intensive preparation for this podcast. And I was expecting to dig out a couple dozen songs that I really, really didn't like. And I found a few, but mostly as I was kind of strolling through the Christmas genre of my iPod, I just kept finding song after song that I would say, oh, hey, I like that song. That's pretty good. Oh, yeah, that one's a classic. Oh, yeah, this is great. And eventually I had like maybe 30 songs written down that I liked, which I will not go into detail on here. But it surprised me a little bit because I do generally kind of think of a lot of Christmas music as being overly schmaltzy and, you know, really saccharine and kind of all by a template. And yet there is a lot. And it's not just stuff that I remember hearing when I was a kid, although there's an aspect of that. But there's a lot of holiday music that I really enjoy. So I was very surprised by that.
Your heart grew 3 sizes that day, Steve.
It really did.
You're right. There's a combination of nostalgia. There's the stuff that you were around when you were a kid. And that's a part of it, because especially as a child in the holidays, I mean, obviously you form a lot of impressions then. But then there's the you know, your shift to the pop music kind of Christmas. And I remember for me, people of a certain age, and this is a little bit like saying, do they know it's Christmas? But when that Very Special Christmas anthology came out in the, was that the mid to late 80s?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. That was that moment of like, ooh, pop stars are making Christmas music. And
I think I have the one on iTunes, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And that was my, that was that moment where it's like, oh, there's this whole other genre out there. And so I have, you know, I've got a little from column A and a little from column B, right? I've got some stuff that I consider sort of classic and standard, and those are more nostalgic and older. And then I've kind of like over the years collected Christmas songs and holiday songs from bands I like, or, you know, or songs I heard and I thought were pretty cool. And that's like in a totally different category. So it's a little from each is sort of what makes up my playlist.
I don't even have a playlist.
Then how do you know it's Christmas? Bob Geldof would like to know.
It's because there's no snow in Africa, Monty. That's how
yeah.
we know.
As soon as there's no snow in Africa, you know it's Christmas.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't really do anything that's all that Christmassy. We don't even really exchange gifts in our family anymore. We just sort of get together and have dinner.
Ah, humbug.
Wow.
Not that I don't like it. I enjoy the fact that people are excited.
Are you on this episode to denounce us? Is that what you're here for?
She's a crypto Christmas fascist.
Yeah, sleeper cell in the war on Christmas.
I only found songs that I liked. I didn't come up with anything I disliked. So I'm definitely not Bah Humbug. You know what it is, guys? I'm just lazy. Christmas is work.
She's Erica Humbug.
Oh, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So I don't wrap presents and I don't decorate anything, but I enjoy all the Christmas lights that are all around that other people have put up. Yeah.
That other people put up.
All right. So to answer your question, Jason, which we kind of got away from,
yes,
and I'm not going to go through my whole list because then...
Then it's a draft.
Forever. Yes, then it's a draft, and God knows we don't want to do drafts. So a few from the nostalgia category. I'm a big fan of Holly Jolly Christmas, which you already brought up.
Yay.
Mainly because Burl Ives' voice is the sound of Christmas to me. He's got just an utterly magical voice, and is probably the closest we will ever come to having Santa Claus sing us a Christmas song.
I am no longer the anti-Steve because I completely agree.
Oh, see, Phil and I are both exchanging
yeah,
notes here.
It's...
Let's stay positive for now. I want to hear what Steve likes and we'll go around.
Okay, then I won't mention what... Okay.
Phil will probably disagree with all my other ones too, and then we can duke it out later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In the spirit of the holidays, sure.
This one, a bit of a guilty pleasure. I'm a fan of the Chipmunk song,
oh,
Christmas
God.
Don't Be Late.
Yay! We are so on the same wavelength here.
There is a specific reason for that, though, and that is I remember one Christmas as a lad not being able to sleep.
You were dropped on your head.
Waking us. Well, there is that.
That's okay, Steve. This will be great when they write the angry letters about you on this episode, so go for it.
That's right. Just being up at 2 in the morning, not being able to sleep and trying to find something to do, and that came on the radio, and just being so... so happy and in anticipation for what the morning would bring. And there was this goofy song with Alvin Simon and Theodore, and just made me really happy, and it still does. That's one of those ones that can bring me back, as can the Barking Dogs version of Jingle Bells.
Oh, sweet God.
I think Steve might be trolling us.
I can't wait to hear what songs you don't like.
Yeah.
I'm no longer on board.
Come on, though. How can you not like the Barking Dogs doing Jingle Bells?
I have ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't love it as a song, but I love it as a...
If you say the Porky Pig version of Blue Christmas, I am going to reach through the microphone.
Well, how about if we go through just the classics here? And if there's like more modern ones, we can talk about those later, because I don't want to just take over the podcast with my awful.
Yeah.
And then there are the classics. I will bring up the classics as well. And mainly for me, the classic Christmas songs that really, really work are the two nights, O Holy Night and Silent Night, both of which are just have such a beautiful kind of sad sounding melody. And, I've been an awful atheist for my entire life, but for some reason, those songs both kind of choke me up a little bit.
They hinge on the interpretation.
They hinge heavily on the singer.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Too. Oh, that's absolutely true.
Especially O Holy Night.
That is extremely, you were absolutely right there. But when done properly, both of those songs can make this non-believer feel almost moved.
Phil, are you referring to Cher there?
I am referring to Cher.
O Holy Night.
Also, Mariah Carey does a version of O Holy Night, which she sings well enough, but it's basically... listen to my multi-octave range and despair, humanity.
Loud is the new good.
Yeah, it's really quite bombastic. Whereas, Silent Night, I particularly enjoy the Dinah Washington version.
I like the Mahalia Jackson one.
Oh, well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
To each their own.
David, do you have some favorites?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I always loved Christmas music because I grew up with, my mother was a choir director at church. So every year you had... all the classic hymns and I'm trying to figure out what modern stuff you might work in there. And I'll just assume all the traditional Christmas carols. But then the more I got into theater and doing sound design in theater, and every year you have a Christmas show of some sort. So I would gather more and more Christmas music and find all kinds of cool stuff. And Vince, obviously, the Diana Krall Christmas album became a perennial as soon as that came out. It's like the whole family was just like, ooh, I like that. And, when you have a three-year-old going, play the jazz album, play the jazz album. Like, okay, you got it. And I love the New England Christmastide collections, which are classic Christmas carols played on antique instruments and authentic instruments from the period when the songs were written, which is kind of cool. And, a couple of years ago, we did a show where I just decided to use the Blind Boys of Alabama as the music. Had nothing to do with the story, had nothing to do with the setting, But I was like, this is fantastic. These people need to hear it. And actually, the owner of the venue where we performed after the show, she came up to me and said, I respect a man who knows exactly how to use the Blind Boys. It's like, all right, cool. So yeah, their album, Go Tell It on the Mountain, is just fantastic. And then the one odd one that I love, PDQ Bach has a consort of Christmas carols, which are three songs, Good King Kong Looked Out, O Little Town of Hackensack, and my personal favorite, Throw the U-Log on, Uncle John. Throw the U-Log on, Uncle John. Throw the U-Log, throw the U-Log, throw the U-Log on, Uncle John. And it all depends on where you put the comma. And the whole song is just about doing horrible, horrible things to Uncle John. So yeah, it'd be great to see the faces of the traditional carolers when you started singing that. They're like, oh God, that's horrible. Stop. So, you know,
I don't think Uncle John would like it either.
I find it's best to get the U-Log in Uncle John if possible. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Christmas.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And I got to say, in Louisville, we have 106.9 WVEZ playing the 24 songs over and over and over again. Except they also do a contest where if you hear Jingle Bell Rock twice in a row, be the third caller.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, usually my kids are like, let's do the contest. Let's do the contest. And this is a contest where both of them are like, why do they keep playing that song? God. And so, yeah, we stopped listening to that real quick.
Yeah, that's like incitement to murder. Listen to Jingle Bell Rock.
Well, twice. Oh, it could be worse.
But I'm trying to stay positive here.
I actually like Jingle Bell Rock.
All right, yeah. Let's go to you, Erica. You can tell us about things you like, and then later I'll talk about how Jingle Bell Rock is a sign of the apocalypse, but not now because we're staying positive now.
That's right.
I actually quite like a lot of those sort of. They're not classics, but they're not particularly new songs. Sort of the middle era that Johnny Marks wrote a ton of Christmas songs. He was Jewish, but apparently he specialized in Christmas songs. Go figure.
Irving Berlin.
Like Neil Diamond.
He wasn't busy on December 25th, so he did a lot of songwriting then.
I don't love Jingle Bell Rock. It's just one that I'm okay with, but stuff like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, that one's a Johnny Marks song. He also wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is fine. And weirdly enough, Run Rudolph Run, which Chuck Berry recorded, which is not one of my favorite songs, but those are the kind of radio Christmas songs that I'm more okay with than some of the more obnoxious poppy Mariah Carey style ones. But what I really like is bands that I like writing Christmas songs, because yep. So often they are not in any way traditionally Christmassy or not even necessarily happy. I mentioned earlier a couple of Weezer songs. They have two Christmas songs. One is called The Christmas Song and one is called Christmas Celebration. And they are both incredibly depressing, which is something you might expect if you know how Rivers Cuomo works when he's writing songs. But the Christmas Song is about a fellow who is waiting for a girl who didn't show up even though she said she was going to. Like, one of the main lines of the song is, here I sit waiting beside the tree all by myself. Like, that's my kind of Christmas song. It's depressing. And Christmas Celebration is just kind of about how annoying Christmas can be, and it refers to Santa as that man is so obese he can't get out the door. It's just not nice. But I do like some of the happier types of those songs as well. Fountains of Wayne has a song called I Want an Alien for Christmas.
Yep.
Which is just, it's just upbeat and fun, and it's the narrator of the song is basically asking for an alien the way a little kid would be asking for a puppy. And
written for Hanson and never recorded by boy band Hanson, so they recorded it themselves, which is why it's very kid-like.
Yep. And it's just, it's charming and delightful and wonderful. I like a few of the classic Christmas carols as well. Like, for some reason, Up on the Housetop was always my favorite song to sing when I was in elementary school. My mom was an elementary school music teacher, so occasionally we would get her to play the piano and we could have little sing-alongs in the basement. But my dad really hated Christmas carols, so for the most part, we didn't listen to them in the house a whole lot. But we did get to hear the Nutcracker Suite over and over again because my mom loved that and my dad was fine with classical music. So that, to me, the Nutcracker is the sound of Christmas.
Mm. I'll have no Up on the Rooftop in this household, young lady.
Click, click, click.
You carolers, take it outside.
Do you have to, like, stand out in the yard and bring the boombox to hear Christmas
music? No figgy pudding out of me.
I'm imagining the poster for Say Anything with John Cusack with a little Santa hat on.
Yep.
I think that's actually how caroling started, is somebody said, I don't want to hear that stuff. Go outside, walk around and
take it to the neighbors.
Maybe they'll like it.
But actually, my favorite Christmas song is from Mystery Science 3000. It is a Patrick Swayze Christmas, which I know Jason mentioned when he was talking about Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Mm-hmm. That was actually a sing-along in my household for a few years. I was a member of the fan club back in the day. I sent my money off to Best Brains, and in return, one of the perks I got was a videotape with a plain white cover that was called Play Misty for Me and had a bunch of the songs collected. And I think that's the only VHS tape that I saved when I moved. That's the only one I still own.
In the early days of Mystery Science Theater fandom, I was the first person to transcribe that for Alt TV MST3K.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Those are the days. Monty, what do you have as favorites?
I like a mixture of what I'm going to call classic Christmas songs, like I think all of the Johnny Mathis, Andy Williams, or Dean Martin songs I have are Christmas songs. Like, right. I can get behind Tony Bennett singing Winter Wonderland. I'm pleased by that.
Yeah.
I don't want an actual Winter Wonderland because snow is weird and foreign to me, but you know, somebody else claiming to enjoy it, I like. And then I also, for some reason, really like kind of alterna folky Christmas songs. There's this one song, The Christians and the Pagans by Dar Williams, that is a really good, I think, explanation of why Christmas is nice, although it's also an explanation of why winter solstice is nice. And it's just about families getting together, and it makes me feel warm and cozy. But yeah, I like myself some Tony Bennett or Andy Williams just in this part of the year.
Yeah, I've got many artists that are those classic artists that I don't have a lot of music of, but I've got their Christmas stuff, and I like it. There's something about it. It's good and comforting in some way.
Nobody's mentioned it yet, so I will say that Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues with Kirsten.
I had that on my list. So I was going to mention that.
There aren't nearly enough Christmas songs containing the phrase "You're an old slut on junk."
I first heard that song only 4 years ago or something. I'd never heard it before. And Andy Anatko, actually, because he on his website, he does his musical advent calendar every year. And that's a great song. It's mm-hmm. it's like you're taking a journey. It's like a whole story that happens in that song.
It's a pretty awful story, too.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's amazing.
Starts out in the drunk tank with the guy dying next to him on the floor.
I saw Shane McGowan live a few years ago, and I could not make out a single word he said. So I was free to pretend he was doing all my favorite Pogues songs.
Sure.
I love that song, but I feel like it's kind of the cool person's version of Auld Lang Syne, which is one of the 24 songs that gets played on that gets played on KOIT. And you know, the whole Auld Lang Syne by Dan Fogelberg, where it's basically, I've run into my ex-girlfriend in the grocery store.
Same Auld Lang Syne, you mean, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've run into my ex-girlfriend in the store, and my life is so much more awesome than hers, and we had a drink in the car, and I got to feel sad and then write a song about it. And I actually wonder why there aren't more songs like that, because it seems like it would be a really fertile genre. But in some ways, I feel like Fairy Tale of New York is kind of the incredibly cool person's version of that song. I still love the song, don't get me wrong. I just see parallels.
Hey, Monty, Lisa thinks you're really cool.
I do. Well,
clearly.
It's true.
She thinks you're a poser, is what she's saying.
Also that. And for some reason, I notice a lot of the Christmas songs I have on my list aren't actually about Christmas. Like, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Oh, it's the secular thing. Yeah.
It takes place during winter. Same for Winter Wonderland or Frosty the Snowman.
Well, there's that divide. There's the traditional religious, hymn-based music, and then there's the secular holiday winter festival music, and they've all kind of mushed together in the popular culture, but they're definitely two different genres. And you listen to the lyrics, and if they're basically about a messiah, then perhaps they're in the one camp, and
perhaps
have yourself a merry winter solstice.
Yes.
Well, I feel like there's three categories. There's the straight Jesus type, like Do You Hear What I Hear or Silent Night. There's Santa-based Christmas, and then, like I say, there's just
vague winter.
Maybe it's cold.
Yeah, Santa-based Christmas. You're right.
You're also forgetting the commerce-based songs like Silver Bells it's
Green Christmas.
Look a lot like Christmas, yeah. But I agree with Monty's basic delineation of the Christmas.
His taxonomy of Christmas.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. I'm glad we structured Christmas so well. Mm-hmm. Lisa, what about you? What are the ones that work for you? What kind of stuff do you like?
Unfortunately, Phil and I don't have very similar taste in Christmas music.
Fortunately, I asked you first, so he has to just sit there and grimace.
He just refilled his glass, so I think he'll be okay.
It's beginning to look a lot like scotch.
Yeah. I should mention my dad was in the – my dad was basically the big tenor deal in our church choirs growing up, and my brother always played in orchestra and band and – jazz ensemble and all of that. So we grew up listening to a lot of orchestral arrangements, and I could probably hum you the entire Nutcracker suite in my sleep. But I still really enjoy it, and I enjoy the modern mandolin quartet's interpretation of the Nutcracker suite. It's just this very light, very pleasant, very sprightly take. It's not excessively saccharine. It doesn't get all Russian and bombastic. It's light and bright, and something that I can safely play in mixed creed audiences, as it were. And to me, that's the quintessential Christmas soundtrack. Some of the other songs on my list, I consider Under African Skies by Paul Simon to almost be a Christmas carol.
Hmm.
Just because it's got the beautiful verses about, Joseph and Mary.
You just like Christmas songs about Africa.
I do.
All of that category. It's all Ladysmith Black Mambazo around here.
Jane Sibbery's got a beautiful song called Calling All Angels that I like to play around this time of the year for the same reason. It's just this really pretty, and I always play it kind of tandem with What a Year for a New Year by Dan Wilson, because those songs are about taking stock of your life as the planet turns and we reset the calendar. Neil Finn has Sweet Secret Peace, which I think is beautiful. I like to listen to that one too. I love Nancy Wilson's version of What Are You Doing New Year's Day? New Year's Eve. And this year I downloaded Kurt Smith, formerly of Tears for Fears, or perhaps still of Tears for Fears. I don't keep up with them, but he did a song called This Is Christmas that I've really been enjoying too. And for my daughter, there's an artist we like to listen to, Elizabeth Mitchell, who has just released a collection of old American folk carols, and there's like 24 of them, and it's just, again, it's very gentle, very folky, very low key, and they've got some traditional ones like Lo, How Our Rose Are Blooming, Mary Was the Queen of Galilee, and Children Go Where I Send Thee, which are all classics that I like, and then they've got a couple others that I hadn't heard of before, but I've been enjoying that album too, so it's in other words, it's pretty much the opposite of what Phil listens to.
All right, Phil, it's your turn. Let us have it.
Oh, I see it's Cranky Uncle Bastard's turn. Well,
oh, no, I'm just saying.
Well, let me tell you, children.
You would not believe the negotiations we have to go through when we try to listen to music. It's alternating.
Well, I'll play to type here and
oh, come on.
And list the Christmas songs I kind of dig that mm-hmm. You can't necessarily play in mixed company. I like Father Christmas by the Kinks.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Which is a wonderful song about privation at the holidays.
and robbery.
And robbery, yes. Thank you, Monty. I like I Won't Be Home for Christmas by Blink-182, which is a peppy little song in which our hero is thrown into the clink for Christmas. I Hate to See Christmas Come Around by Jimmy Witherspoon, which is a nice little blues song about, he's got troubles, Jimmy Witherspoon. And, that's very enjoyable. But I also like songs that don't make you want to open a vein. Yeah. So I like Mele Kalikimaka. Chris Isaak's version is quite peppy and delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Dinah Washington's Silent Night. It's not really a Christmas song at all, but Hep Cat's Holiday by Cats and the Fiddle is just a delightful little tune. And that gets me in a holiday spirit. I won't say which holiday. I like the Bare Naked Ladies, Sarah McLachlan jam on God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Oh, I like that one too a lot.
Well, there you go. See, we do like things.
Aww.
This is true. Hey, it's the season.
It's a Christmas miracle.
We don't like that.
You were the one who originally suggested that we actually bring in a whole bag full of inappropriate instruments.
I meant inappropriate instruments, not a jingle bell. I was going to bring in maracos and a mouth harp.
Where's my alpen horn?
You know, Please Come Home from Christmas by... I think Charles Brown does the version. Mm-hmm. Like, bring that Cadillac back. Oh, this is back in the sad Christmas songs by the Doc Bagby Orchestra. Woman, you done wronged me, so give me back that Cadillac I gave you. Is basically the theme of that song.
Sort of like the sequel to Santa Baby.
Yes, it's like the bitter echo of Santa Baby. Quite right, Steve. Thank you, and. I like You're All I Want for Christmas by the Persuasions. That's a really nice tune.
I love it. So, every time you played it for me, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. So there. All right. Those are the proper Christmas songs to listen to celebrate Christmas the Philip Michaels way.
So noted.
A fistful of bourbon and a heart full of hate.
Is that what you're drinking right now?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
You know you want an album called Christmas the Phil Michaels way.
I do, or Cranky Uncle Bastard, it could also be called.
Or Fistful of Bourbon.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I've got a few that I wanted to mention. So I have Frank Sinatra's Christmas album. What's that? Frank Sinatra Swingin' Christmas? Is that it? Phil, you would know.
Sounds about right.
He produced a lot of Christmas albums. I like to envision Sinatra would walk into the studio and like... We're doing this in one take, baby. Boom, boom, boom. I've got a gal back in the hotel room and storms out. And so, yeah, he
I've got to deck the holly. Come on.
I have A Jolly Christmas from Frank Sinatra, which is a couple of the tracks are really great and are pure Frank Sinatra voice and Christmas music, and it's just magic. And then there are the ones where it's very much like the producers are like, oh, I don't know. And it's totally laden with backup singers and everything right. That's a sign of something terrible.
Right. That is every Sinatra Christmas album, because I have Christmas with Sinatra, I think it is, and it's a lot of his early stuff, but there are songs that the Sominex backup singers join him for.
Oh, my God.
It is quite
dreadful.
Because
you really want to cover up Frank's voice.
That's... Yeah. Especially his early voice when he could still sing. And there's a cut on the album that I have where it's Frank Sinatra sings you the Lord's Prayer. Which really does not.
It's horrible.
Which does not.
Does.
Regardless of what you think of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm in favor of it generally, listeners, but not really singable.
No, it is. It is. My uncle actually sang the Lord. He's an opera singer. Sang the Lord's Prayer at a couple funerals and made me cry. So if you have somebody who's really good, it works.
Well, your uncle is better than Frank Sinatra.
Than Frank Sinatra doing his one take and then storming out of the studio to go nail Ava Gardner.
Frank Sinatra, you take the rough. You take the. I actually enjoy doing a shuffle that includes the entire album because you'll get it and you'll be like, oh Frank, and then a couple tracks later you're like, oh no,
oh Frank, no
Frank. No, don't do it. So there's that. Nat King Cole's Christmas album. I mean, obviously, you're there for Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, the Christmas song, which is a classic, and that's one of those that hits me, you know, right in the heart. That's just that's the sound of Christmas for me. But there's some other nice stuff on there, and that again is a nice traditional Christmas album. Lots of traditional songs, and I like that one a lot. I'm not going to go negative yet, so I'm not going to mention that thing that's terrible. Some songs that I like. Eric already mentioned Fountains of Wayne, but I really like their song The Man in the Santa Suit, which is about a sweaty backup Santa who is called into action because the first Santa has gotten sick. That's really enjoyable, the life of a department store Santa. I enjoy Guster's Carol of the Meows, which in many ways is the modern updated version of the barking dogs.
Well, then it's all right with me.
which is the Carol of the Bells, except with meows.
Sung by cats.
No, it's sung by men who are singing like cats. It's delightful.
I must find
meow,
this.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, the story is that alt-rock or kind of alt-folk band Guster, when they were releasing one of their albums in the heyday of Napster, they released a version of it on the internet, properly labeled, but what they did was they replaced all the vocals on it with them just meowing instead of the lyrics, and it became actually kind of a cult hit, and it was later released as a meow-only album on iTunes. Anyway, they did a Carol of the Bells version with just meows, and it's actually delightful. I enjoy Spinal Tap's Christmas with the Devil far more than I should. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
There'll be no Father Christmas because it's evil's holiday.
That's, you got it.
See, I don't feel so bad about Uncle John now.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoy a song called I Hear the Bells by Mike Doty that is a kind of un-Christmas Christmas song that I really like. I Insist the Bells Are Ringing by They Might Be Giants as a Christmas song, even though other people like Lex Friedman disagree. I find it very Christmassy and a condemnation of Christmas commercialism. And I bought Jonathan Colton and John Roderick's Christmas album last year, and I thought it was, it's the batting average is about half really good songs and half kind of meh songs. But the good ones are great, including a fantastic song called 2600, which is entirely about me because it is about a kid demanding only one thing for Christmas, and that's an Atari 2600. So
those
are songs that I like a lot.
There you go.
All right, let's get negative.
I've got a few more positive shout-outs.
Steve. We're back to Steve.
I remembered a few, too.
We've wrapped it all the way around to Steve. Okay.
You all refuse to adhere to my totally arbitrary way of partitioning out the podcast. I now have to sneak in later with my more modern songs.
Go for it.
Although I forgot to mention one that I like as a kid, which is John Denver and the Muppets doing Christmas is Coming.
Yes,
which is sung around with Miss Piggy Scooter and Gonzo over this bouncy little Caribbean rhythm.
It's a very good album. Some of the cuts don't hold up so well.
Yeah.
After the years, but that one is that's sensational.
You know, the song about Scrooge from Muppet Christmas Carol is very good, although I don't really think of it as a Christmas song. I guess I should, because it's about Scrooge, though.
I was always a little disappointed they never did a rendition of Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas.
I don't think Phil had heard that song until he married me.
No, I hadn't. No. And I've actually grown. I used to not like it, and now I kind of do.
It has its points.
What I love about that song is the children's chorus that kicks in at the fun. Anytime you bring a children's chorus into the song, potential for it to go horribly wrong is just trembling on the precipice. But every once in a while, it's deployed to great effect.
You know, the thing with Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas, I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, Daddy gets drunk and Mama cries, but he really doesn't do much other than roll in late.
No. And knock over the Christmas tree, though.
Yeah. Maybe barf in a stocking and pass out under the tree, but he ain't hurt no one. Let him be.
He knocks over the tree, Steve. Pay attention to the lyrics.
Christmas trees fall over pretty easily. Mine fell over twice while I was putting it up.
How much were you drinking?
None. I was drinking none.
I think Steve's point is he's not an angry drunk. He's kind of a lighthearted, cordial drunk who might be invited on podcast to talk about Christmas music
that
he doesn't like.
And so you're saying it's just his uptight wife who has a problem with him falling into the Christmas tree? Yeah. Is that where we're going with this?
Maybe it is. Martha. Lay off of John Denver, Martha.
Those are bold words for a man who needs a ride home.
Is this what you were hoping for, Jason?
Yeah, it's spot on, Monty.
All right, good.
Some actual modern stuff that I was going to mention. I really like this tune by Gorky Zygotic Monkey. It's a Welsh band. The song's called Christmas Eve. And it's just the world's prettiest little acoustic guitar melody. And then at the very end, they come in with this sort of angelic sounding vocal. And all he sings is The Star You Fell in Love To comes out on Christmas Eve. And it just somehow perfectly evokes standing out under the stars in a snowy field with your true love on Christmas Eve. And it's just a nice little song. I enjoy a song by Elvez called Feliz Navinada, which is a mashup of Feliz Navidad, which I think you just can't not be cheered up by Feliz Navidad, and Public Image, which bizarrely works perfectly with Feliz Navidad. So that's a good little tune. Also a big fan of Thanks for Christmas by, I think they call themselves the Wise Men, but it's actually just XTC, which is just a perfect pop Christmas song. It's got this wonderfully Beatly piece of music that would have been a great tune even without the Christmas elements. But then they also throw in the bells and the harp and this totally cheesy lyric that nonetheless sounds kind of heartfelt. So I'm a big fan of that one. And lastly, I think I have to mention Bob and Doug McKenzie doing the 12 Days of Christmas.
And a beer.
Oh, beauty. Eh?
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me beer.
Beer.
In a tree.
5 golden toques.
Yep.
4 pounds of back bacon.
Got I like that version because they speed the song up.
Yes. Yes.
I get pretty impatient with parodies of 12 Days of Christmas because it just takes so long to get to each new line towards the end of the song.
They get to day 7 and I think they just jump straight to welcome to day 12.
Can we get negative now, Steve?
Oh, yes, we can. I believe we can.
This, in many ways, is like a Christmas gathering where everyone tries to be nice for the first hour.
And then it turns ugly.
And then everything goes to hell.
That's right.
Yep.
I was going to say, I did remember 2 other things.
David.
Duke. It's quick. It's
all
quick.
Right, go ahead.
Duke Ellington has a fantastic nutcracker.
And his music's not bad either.
That's right.
Zing.
But seriously, no, it's a wonderful setting of the Nutcracker. And the Bobs, Too Many Santas, is just a lovely album of very silly songs, including they have one with Jonathan Katz as a guest vocalist called Santa's Got a Brand New Bag. That is, again, just delightful.
All right. Now, here it comes.
Here comes the bad stuff.
Now we can talk about things that are bad. Can I just posit, and I realize this may be going out on a limb, but that in Christmas, It's a Marshmallow World is the worst Christmas song ever written?
No. I had never heard of that until you had brought it up.
It's quite bad.
No, but it's Christmas shoes.
Oh, don't give away the ending.
Oh. I had never really heard it before, and then I was listening to my my television provider also has, you know, digital music channels, and we had it tuned to the Christmas channel, of course, as you do. And this was a few years ago. This was like 5 or 10 years ago. And this song came on, and I was increasingly horrified. The Dean Martin version I'm thinking of. And it is the laziest, saddest, most pathetic set of lyrics.
To continue the Sinatra metaphor where he storms into the studio, does one take, and storms out, Dean Martin sort of staggers into the studio, says, "Hey, Pally, let's sing a song now." And then he does the song and does his one take. And how was that? That was great. Okay, I'm out of here. And so,
I'm going to go watch Frank Neal Ava Gardner.
Yeah, so Marshmallow World at Christmas. That is Dean Martin at his Dean Martiniest.
Yeah, not a fan. I think that one's bad. That actually is the thing that I have the most impatience for. Other than the pop star pop album where they take some song that had some sort of nuance or meaning and they belt the heck out of it and they do a lot of different runs and stuff to show that their voices are great and completely miss the point.
It's like you're talking about Jessica Simpson, I feel.
I was going to go back to Mariah Carey, but sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That works too.
We have a Jessica Simpson track from when we did the compilations of like the worst and best.
We do.
Because we used to send out CDs.
We have I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Oh, it's the worst. I hate that carol anyway.
Yeah,
but there's
not a good version of that.
But Jessica Simpson's brings it to a whole new level of disgusting and awful.
Yeah.
Trying to make it soulful?
No, trying to make it sexy.
Yeah.
She's kind of hoping that Santa will gesture her over and then there'll be some elf on Santa action.
If there is ever a song that you say, you know what, let's not make this one sexy, it's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Let's not sex that one up.
Well, let's talk about I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus for a minute, because for me, that's probably the worst of the worst.
It's pretty bad.
The Jimmy Boyd original sounds like he's singing with one of those huge old-timey clothespins clamped over his nose, and that's bad enough. But the Spike Jones version, which is sung by grown man George Rock, is utterly egregious.
I implore you to listen to the Jackson 5 version.
Yes.
Which is all right because they're doing the Jackson 5 thing where they're all spinning around and Michael's and this is Michael at his youngest and cutest and he's belting it out
and everyone's not quite weird
but it goes weird at the end. Where, I'm gonna tell my
that
daddy.
That was the moment.
And, oh,
and then you just started thinking, oh God, Joe Jackson is going to beat his wife into
Joe Jackson is going to beat everyone singing the song with them,
my
with
daddy.
A sock full of oranges.
They're the ones that should be singing, I hope daddy doesn't get drunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Spike Jones business, though, with the fake giggles and the, oh boy, creepy as hell. He sounds like he's being castrated as the song is being recorded. Even if there was a good version of that, the story that unfolds through those lyrics.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
It's like Santa Baby, which is my other bugbear.
Santa Baby is so bad.
They did make a terrible TV movie based on the song I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Oh, dear.
I believe starring one of the kids from Home Improvement.
Of course they did.
I mean, this child has clearly stumbled onto some seriously kinky stuff going down in his living room.
It's like a David Lynch Christmas.
Honestly, it could only be more disturbing if there were a fourth verse about dad standing behind the Christmas tree snapping Polaroids.
I have a cuckolding fetish. Don't judge me. This is
the only way I can be jolly, son.
Exactly. He's just seen his own father cuckolded by jolly old Saint Nick.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wow.
I believe the subtext is that Santa Claus is actually daddy in dressed as Santa.
Yes, it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
Oh, and look, he's so innocent.
The kid has no idea.
Yeah.
No, that's more fun to make a Bob Crane joke.
And what's he to make of the presents
that's
now?
That's right.
Yeah.
Keep quiet, Jimmy, if you want to keep the train sets coming. Your mom's a real ho, ho, ho.
It's the lyric, what a laugh it would have been if daddy had only seen. Listen, kid, there is nothing funny about daddy being humiliated on Christmas Day by a ripe, jolly old elf.
Unless he's working through some Oedipal issues, and in which case this is the best Christmas ever. My father rival is being humiliated. Yes.
I believe it was Sophocles who wrote that originally, where Oedipus finds his mommy kissing Santa Claus and then blind Santa Claus. Wait, no.
He's going to need some serious therapy someday.
Wrong. Wow.
I have a theory that this song is actually being sung not by a little boy, but by a middle-aged man weeping.
Oh, no.
Tears and mascara pouring down his face, and he's singing it to another man who's gagged and tied to a chair.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Oh, my God.
How are you enjoying this podcast so far, Jason?
Merry Christmas.
It's great. Yeah. All the stuff that I get to edit out, that'll be awesome, too.
We're live on 5x5,
yes,
everyone.
That's right. Enjoy. I hope all 8 of you are enjoying this.
Flashcast.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Also, consigned to a circle of hell, I would say, are the happified lyrics of something like I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always found offensive because that is a sad song.
Wait, there's a happy version of that?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Most of them have been happified.
Yeah.
You know, that it's I'll be home for Christmas and, you know, you can count on me. And it's all like, I'll be home for Christmas, literally. And it's like, no.
I'm on the United flight right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was about servicemen, like, overseas.
Not being home for Christmas.
Exactly. Right.
Well, except in their dreams. I know. They changed the words when, Bing Crosby? They re-recorded it with changed words to make it more positive and happy.
They also do that with one of my favorites, which is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Because the original version, as sung in Meet Me in St. Louis, is actually kind of grim, because it's about, hey...
I'm never going to see my loved ones again because we're all moving to different places.
Exactly. We're all being flung to the four current corners of the earth and death waits for everybody. But that the lyrics get changed over the years.
Wow. Okay. Well, this has gone into very strange places. So let's continue on. Bring out your dead. Tell me.
Is it time for us to talk about the Christmas shoes yet?
Not yet.
Save it for the end.
We're going to go to Erica and then we're going to go to Monty. Erica, go ahead.
Actually, I couldn't think of a lot of things that I absolutely hated, except that I'm right with you, Jason, as far as the radio songs where it's just some pop star showing off, and that just
and they don't even know. Yeah, it's just they're just singing it's the modern version of the Frank Sinatra swoops in to record something where it's like, oh, is this a song? Okay, I've never heard it before, but I'll sing the heck out of it. Okay, I'm gonna go. Where's my paycheck?
Yeah, exactly. That bothers me. And actually, speaking of radio stations that play Christmas music, I was in Edmonton with my spouse last Christmas, and they have not one but two stations that play Christmas music.
Wow.
Continually. all month long. So as we were driving around town, which we did quite a bit, I liked to flip through the radio stations while anytime I'm there to just kind of get an idea for what the different music is like in Canada. And it's not that different. But we heard a lot of Christmas songs, and almost every time I just wanted to change the station right away because it was often one of those obnoxious songs. But the one song that came to mind, and he's gonna hate me, because we would drive around and Stephen would say, "I just want to hear Feliz Navidad. I just want to hear it." He was so excited. And in my head, I'm going, "Oh, please don't play that. That's the one song I do not want to hear because I can't stand it. It just gets on my nerves so much."
Yeah, you're the anti-Steve.
Yep. I'm back to being anti-Steve. Yep.
Good, good. All is right with the world.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we've done a good thing here. So let's move on to Monty's negativity.
Feliz Navidad. Do, 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 do. Feliz Navidad. Do, 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 do. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Do, 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 do. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Yes, Steve, high five.
I hate you all. My spouse Steven is listening right now. I'm sure you just made his night.
And ruined everyone else's.
You all right, Steven.
And he didn't even have to go to Edmonton to do that.
The two songs I hate the most are, unfortunately, two that Erica said she liked. Jingle Bell Rock and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree infuriate me.
Let's talk about Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh, I wanted to talk about Jingle Bell Rock.
Well, let's talk about both.
Okay.
There's no rocking in either one of them. They're cynical, cynical songs written by people who just wanted to appeal to those darn teeny boppers. Said, well, if we call it Jingle Bell Rock, that's like writing a rock song. It's the least rocking song ever written.
Perhaps the worst Christmas song lyric ever is Giddy Up, Jingle Horse, Pick Up Your Feet.
That is bad.
I can't argue with that. It's just catchy. I like catchy.
It is catchy. It's evil, but it's catchy. That's what we're saying. Phil, what is your grievance with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree?
Which one is the one that Hall & Oates does?
Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, Jingle Bell Rock. Then my grievance is with that.
All right,
implore you,
you're with me,
to hunt down the 1980s video that Hall & Oates did for Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, boy.
Because God bless Oates.
God bless Oates, everyone.
John Oates. He has a name.
The director clearly said to them, "All right, Hall & Oates, this is very festive and you're at a party." Then they're wearing ugly sweaters before that became an ironic thing to do. "Hey, you're at a party and it's the best party you've ever been at." And Oates said, Oates took that direction to heart because his face is frozen in this rictus of merriment.
His mustache might just be weighing his muscles down.
It's true. And they are dancing around and having a grand old time, and it will haunt your dreams. Wow. As you watch that. Please find it now. Pause this podcast. Everyone within the sound of my voice, go to YouTube or go to VH1 and find Hall & Oates singing this song. Mm-hmm.
Though both of those songs had that feeling of, it was like, hey, the kids have this new thing, the rock and roll. This is what Monty was saying, the teeny boppers. Let's do songs like that, but about the holidays.
And they couldn't even be bothered to write a new song in the case of Jingle Bell Rock. Just somebody's in an office somewhere saying, we need a Christmas carol that the kids will listen to. You know, something like Jingle Bells, but
with rock.
I don't know, Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh my gosh.
Lisa's actually watching the YouTube video now.
It's delightful because they have poor John Oates buried under a pile of presents. And
I feel like
all of the visual sight gags that go along with looking at Hall & Oates.
I feel like I am watching a person watching the human centipede as she watches this video.
What does it take, like 6 presents to bury John Oates?
It does. That's the saddest part of all, is they're all like thin paperback books.
It's the method of modern love, Lisa.
Oh my gosh. And then you've got Daryl Hall with his pants hitched up to right below his nipples, and they're green. Oh my gosh. Wow.
His nipples are green? It's Christmas. How did that happen?
He really needs to see a doctor about that.
Holy cow.
Well, one's red, white is set in.
That and the perma smile.
Yes, Monty, one's red and one's green. Yes.
That's Oates has been bumping into
him
all night.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay. Monty, do you have more negativity?
Not off the top of my head. I'm willing to pass it on. I'm sure there's other negativity floating around.
Fair enough. David, do you have particular things that you would like to complain about?
Well, I have two. One, which has bugged me for, close to 40 years, I guess. It's almost that old. Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time.
Oh, my God. We've hit it. This is the landmine. And I know this is Lex Friedman's. It's Lex Friedman's least favorite song of all time.
You know, that dude could write a good song if he wanted to.
Oh, exactly.
Steve?
Yes?
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having wonderful Christmas time.
Repeat that forever.
You know, though, that part is actually okay.
Forever.
That little melody is not horrible, but everything else about that song is absolutely dreadful.
And you know, it's like he had one line and he went, hey, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. And it got to the point where when my wife and I were first dating, that was one of those things that bonds a couple. You know, it's like, oh, that song.
Brought together by hate.
That's like a deal breaker if they do like it.
She made me write a parody of it. And so that was...
That's punishment enough.
And that parody turned out to be our wedding vows.
But now I realized you could sing John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War is Over against simply having a wonderful Christmas time. It's a counterpoint. It's really creepy.
If you work in Ringo Starr's I Want to Be Santa Claus, then you've really hit the
track. I'm still working on that. I have a team.
By the way, Christmas Time is Here Again by the Beatles is actually a much worse song than simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Ringo did a version of that on his most recent Christmas album.
It's shocking to think that Ringo would try to live off the glory of the Beatles.
It's kind of hard to believe.
I don't like the phrase most recent Christmas album. Yeah.
I have to say, I found a new song, or a relatively new song, a couple of weeks ago that, I don't know, it might be even worse for me. Christina Aguilera's cover of The Christmas Song, which, again, if you can hear this, go and listen to it, especially the holiday remix. That's the even better version.
But it's a Christmas song. How could there be a holiday remix of the Christmas song?
I know.
It's a name.
Is that what they do?
It's for the club kids.
I would have thought that the red and green drugs would have clued them into the time of the year.
I don't know if Mel Torme or Nat King Cole drowned her puppy when she was a child, because it's like she wants to take this song and pummel it into submission. It's every vocal trick times 10. You know, if she does a trill, she'll do 10 trills at once with a backbeat. And it's worse than All I Want for Christmas Is You. I mean, it is suddenly Mariah Carey is not so bad anymore.
Well, I refuse to hear that, but
strong words.
I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, go listen to it, and then you'll curse me for it.
I'm sure Mel Torme isn't that mad, because he wrote the song, so at least he's getting paid for what she's doing to it.
I think he's indifferent, actually, since he's dead.
That was my next question. Does he even have an opinion on
that? His heirs are not that mad.
You shut up! Mel Torme isn't dead!
Harry Anderson is still pissed on his behalf, so.
Wait, are we talking about the Velvet Fog?
We are.
Man.
A nickname he hated, I believe.
He will live forever, but is dead.
Wait a minute.
All right. Should we talk about the Christmas shoes now, Phil?
No.
What? Have you talked about Santa Baby yet?
No, we haven't talked. There's a lot to go through. You want to cut this off. Everyone else gets to be negative.
Let me rephrase that. Hey, Phil, I believe you've got a whole bucket of negativity coming. Why don't you pour it out and let us all just witness?
Actually, Jason, I'm full of love and happiness. I'm very happy to be here. But my wife is fuming, and I think she wants to talk about things that she hates.
I feel you've put me in the spot here. No, I just wanted to talk about how much I hate Santa Baby.
Yeah.
Which is one of those songs that no one can ever do right because the basic and fundamental message of the song is disgusting and gross.
That's true. And yet within that within that spectrum, you can do it really, really, really badly.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is to have the affected...
It's kind of, I feel like, you
Betty
know,
Boop
you know
voice.
I'm not the one who introduced the human centipede into this podcast, but I feel like it's kind of the human centipede of Christmas carols.
I can't wait to hear how this goes.
Where you just have to decide what level of awful is Santa Baby going to be.
Madonna awful?
Oh, you know, I think I heard Jessica Simpson do a cover of it once,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think Leah Michelle does a version of it now.
Every bleeding ears.
Every Lady Shantusi does a...
Every Lady Shantusi who's ever desperately needs to know that she's pretty does a cover of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's validate me! So.
Although I do have to point out that Human Centipede is one situation where you don't want anything to hurry down the chimney.
I just checked and you will be glad to know Glee has done Santa Baby.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy is a force for evil. Why wouldn't he have done it? So I just like that one. I have no opinion on Baby It's Cold Outside anymore because Key and Peele laid that to rest with their wonderful, wonderful takeoff.
No, we need to discuss this. This is very important. I was ready to let Baby It's Cold Outside go because, you know, everyone does the, hey, this song is kind of about date rape.
Herf, derf, herf, derf, derf, derf.
I was going to mention that.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think society had given up on that song, or I thought it had.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get emotional on this podcast. Last year, John Travolta.
Oh, God, that's right. That was my awesome. Lord.
And Olivia Newton-John did an album of Christmas standards.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember.
Wait, what?
And they did, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Oh, God, yes.
All of this is true.
except. John Travolta is the person who's, I gotta go. And Olivia Newton-John's going, no.
I think I'm gonna put
no. I think we're gonna get busy tonight. And I've locked all the doors locked from the outside and you're trapped with me. And John Travolta's going, I don't really think of you in that way. And Olivia Newton-John says, Grease is the word, baby.
It's his own fault. He's the one that made her tramp up at the end of Grease.
Yeah. And John Travolta's all, oh, save me, L. Ron Hubbard, and Olivia Newton-John says, yeah, no, that's...
Your God is dead.
That's not going to happen.
It's like the heartwarming version of Misery.
No, you know? Seriously.
It really is.
Listen to that song and listen to John Travolta's tired voice as he's just trying to go, I really can't stop. He's like singing it through sobs.
Like, I agree with you that it sounds like a hostage video.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. However,
in the video, John Travolta is blinking his distress.
I stand by my assertion that Key and Peele have definitively laid the date rape question to rest with their takeoff.
Mm.
And I urge everybody to look for that on YouTube.
And just to be clear, you're listening to Human Santipede, the worst Christmas podcast ever.
I think Human Santipede is
that's the title.
Thank you, Jedi Wig Knight in the chat room for suggesting the title that can't be spoken.
You know, that same gender swap to Baby It's Cold Outside was done by Lady Gaga and Joseph Gordon-Levitt in mm-hmm. what I'm sure you remember as Lady Gaga and the Muppets Holiday Spectacular from like a week and a half ago.
I get the feeling that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is probably down for a lot more things than John Travolta is, though. Like, he seems to me like he's an adventurous young man. You know, John Travolta had like a genuine note of terror in his cover.
Yeah.
It's not a good song.
No, that was maybe the only decent moment in that whole special. God, that was a depressing special.
I really hate, there's one called Mary, Did You Know? That comes on occasionally, and it's basic, and the whole premise of the song is, Mary, are you aware that the baby that you're holding is going to be horribly crucified in approximately 33 years? And do you realize what a grave responsibility it is to take this tiny child and look at it and realize that you're going to watch him be tortured to death for salvation? Did you know that, Mary? Are you okay with that, Mary?
That sounds uplifting.
Yes! Yes!
It's like the dude who brought myrrh.
Yeah.
Is that while she's giving birth in a manger?
Like immediately thereafter when she's like all hormonal and stuff. He's like, Mary, did you know? And whenever somebody sings it, they're trying to sing it reverently because you're supposed to be, you know, thinking about big thoughts and salvation and so on and so forth. And what it really comes down to is it would be tantamount to someone coming to see the mother of a newborn and saying, by the way, Sid strikes 1 in 200. You know, it's just this horrible, grim. And they play it on the radio like it's supposed to be this big spiritual apotheosis. Oh, my gosh, I hate that.
So we've had a lot of fun tonight talking about
various
talking
things.
About SIDS and human centipedes.
Well, I don't understand why people listen to that song.
And date rape. There's a few points I want to make before we get to the Christmas shoes, and that is celebrities, if you're listening to this podcast, and
stop
I know that
singing.
I know that you are, please
we hate you.
When they come and tell you you've got to make a Christmas album.
Say just say no.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh wow.
I live in
say
fear.
No, and when they say, "Hey Rosie O'Donnell, that Christmas album was great. Make a second one." Please, at that point say no. And please whatever you do, don't do a duet with Elmo.
I kind of live in fear of the day that you decide to punish me by introducing that to our daughter though.
Oh no, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Do you promise me?
I have to live in that house too.
Okay.
Yes, Rosie O'Donnell and Elmo sing Do You Hear What I Hear?
Yes.
And what you will hear is horror and and sobbing.
I, for one, think Elmo has a lovely singing voice.
No, it's like a call and response, Jason. That's how they do the song. Mm-hmm.
As big as a kite?
It was a star, Elmo, as big as a kite.
As big as a kite? Yes. What did the king say, Rosie?
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Oh, to the shepherd boy. The shepherd boy?
That's right, Elmo, a shepherd boy. And it goes on like this for like hours, it feels like.
You know, he was a baritone before he met Kevin Clash.
A young castrato named Elmo.
After 3 years of watching Elmo's World every morning, the only thing, every morning when Elmo's World came on, I would just go,
"Now, Mr. Noodle, the barrel goes in your mouth."
And no, the child did not get in trouble for doing that at daycare. Thank goodness.
We haven't reached that point in our life yet. I have reached the point where I now say, "Oh, good, Elmo's in this episode of Sesame Street." Oh, thank God Elmo's here.
For a while, it's okay because everyone will quiet down because it's Elmo.
Yeah.
But then the Stockholm Syndrome. Oh.
So you got your problems with your Rosie O'Donnells and your Kathy Lee Giffords cutting Christmas albums that no one wants to hear. You got your problems with your hipsters like your Flaming Lips and your Martina Soberas doing their...
Oh, you really hate that Martina Sobera Most Wonderful Time of the Year song.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Where the hipsters can't even be bothered to say, "It's the most wonderful time
well,
of
guess
the
who she
year."
Goes, oh.
Yeah, there's a part in the song where Martina Sobera actually... I don't even know if I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
I don't care. No.
And she just like lets out this plaintive sigh like, "Oh, I'm so much better than this material." Yeah. Well, not really. But I think the thing, and we could talk about the Pikachu Pokemon Christmas album.
Wow.
I think people know enough to avoid that. What I think people don't avoid is a song I like to call the Christmas Cat.
Did the Pillsbury Doughboy just come in here?
My God, yes. George Rock, he's back from the grave and he's listening to this podcast.
Yeah. The Christmas Cat is a song about a cat whose cruel bastard owners throw him out into the wintry night.
Oh.
Because I guess he's being a cat or something.
Because he's Zito.
Yeah. And they throw him out into the wintry night, and there in the snow drifts, he meets a mouse. And he says, "Hey, Mr. Mouse, I'll cuddle you and keep you warm." And during the course of the song, the cat freezes to death. But the mouse lives and Santa comes.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because the ratio of anyway, the heat exchange doesn't work out in the mouse's favor.
Maybe they cut out the lyric where the mouse guts the cat like a tauntaun and sleeps inside.
Climbs inside.
I don't know.
That's a good idea.
How come the song isn't called The Christmas Mouse?
But,
the mouse like bigger on the inside than on the outside? Is that how that would work?
At a certain point, the mouse is rescued by Santa because, you know, Santa. And everyone cries. There's an actual lyric said, "And everyone cried" in a Christmas song. And...
Wow.
Santa says, "Well, because this cat gave his life, I'm going to use my Santa powers to assume him bodily into heaven." as I didn't realize that was in Santa's charter.
Santa can do that.
He can do that.
Didn't realize that was Santa's mission statement.
It's because Christmas is a very religious holiday, and therefore Santa has those powers.
No need to get there earlier before the kid dies.
Or bring him back.
Well, Santa had some things.
Well, it's not like he has powers that allow him to travel around the world in one night. He can't get there in time.
He could have done the thing that Superman does in the first Superman movie where he starts flying around the world backwards so that it reverses.
Wouldn't he have to deliver all the presents again, though?
Yeah, I guess Santa's just being a lazy bastard.
I think he's got quite a job to do. So
anyhow, if you're planning on listening to The Christmas Cat, don't. That's my advice to you.
But of course, now that I've heard you talk about it, I have to go listen to it.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. I don't. I definitely
I've heard
don't.
It, so I'm safe.
You can go. You can all listen or not listen to it at catcarol.com. I'm not kidding.
The whole site. That is
suddenly
exciting.
Grandma and the reindeer don't look so bad.
Good God.
I can't think of another song that we'd want to mention, certainly not one that involves footwear.
Can you buy these shoes, sir?
Hey, Christmas Cat is available on CD with a beautiful 4-page full-color booklet insert.
What? Jesus Christ.
It's the reason,
for the season,
season
after all. Oh, no.
Wow, we all went for that joke.
Oh, it was that or go back to the human centipede, so.
That's the sequel. Yeah.
Before we get Christmas cobblers involved, I want to express my incredible dislike for, and this is probably going to be an unpopular choice, because apparently some people like this, but those people are wrong. I really detest Christmas wrapping by the waitresses.
I don't know what it is. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter today, and I've never even heard it.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Out of curiosity, where were you in the 80s? No, I'm serious. Because
I was in the Midwest.
Okay, because it was often played on like Christmas Eve on most of the local rock stations, because that was the closest they were allowed.
Well, remember, we weren't allowed to listen to Christmas music in the house.
Ah, that's right.
So I've never heard it either, so.
Barely
what?
Music.
You've never heard? Well, you should consider yourself lucky. It is... It's got a horrible melody. It has that awful, awful, repetitive chorus.
Merry Christmas.
But I think I'll miss this one this year.
Merry Christmas.
Stop it.
I have heard that song. Oh, no.
Shut up.
I didn't know the name.
That's okay.
Boo.
I'm having flashbacks of one holiday season.
Oh, man, there's
going to
be a punch out.
It's got these terrible lyrics. The whole thing is about just this flaky lady who... wants to get together with some other flaky guy, but she can't really be bothered.
Yeah, I have heard it. I just blocked it out.
Yep.
Lisa, Steve was saying terrible things about Christmas wrapping. Do you have a rebuttal?
No, because people are allowed to like and dislike different songs, and that is just fine by me.
That's why they make two flavors of ice cream, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Because some people like terrible ice cream.
Exactly. Look, I can see where the criticism is. You know, Steve is right, where the lyrics are basically this overbooked broad with a rotten grip on her social life.
That's
spends
right.
all year running around like a maniac. And there's this trite little, it's a Christmas miracle that I ran into my hookup and at the A&P on Christmas Eve. But, you know.
You forgot the cranberries, too?
You forgot cranberries, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
stop!
Wow. I think to enjoy that song, you have to enjoy the waitress's particular approach to pop music.
Which is to say, it's this really... I get the feeling that the waitresses, if you describe them, it's a lot more enjoyable than if you actually listen to them, you know, because they also have that song, I Know What Boys Like.
Yeah, that
it
was
worked
their big
for I Know What
hit.
Boys Like. Yeah. It works for the Square Pegs theme song. For this, it's just, it's a little too much. And it feels like it goes on for about 20 minutes, this song.
Because it like covers all four seasons.
It's recounting the year. It's like Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to do that over the course of a year, though.
Or Neil Sedaka's Calendar Girl. and a shiver goes through the podcast.
I mean, look, I'll cop to liking the song, but I can also see where lots of people don't, and that's perfectly fine.
I used to do, when I did stand-up comedy, I used to do a bit, and I'm sorry to even bring this up, I used to do a bit where it was Neil Young would sing Neil Sedaka. And so I had Neil Young singing Calendar Girl, and it is a miracle the audience did not rise as one to tear me from limb to limb. Because that's a terrible, terrible bit. Future stand-up comics don't do that one.
All right.
Where have you been all my life? My goodness.
All right. It's time to wrap it up with the Christmas shoes. Phil, please take us out.
So it was the
sing the Christmas shoes. No.
No.
It was almost Christmas time.
I can only do like 6 seconds, and then we have to pay those bastards royalties. Yeah. So
I never knew Satchmo did that song.
No, well, he does.
You're supposed to sing it as Neil Young.
Yeah, I stood in another line.
You know, you never hear anybody doing a cover of that song.
No.
And that should tell you everything you need to know about it.
Well, it's perfected, really. I mean, honestly.
No, well, no. But look, there are even covers of Christmas rapping. For example, the band Save Ferris actually did a Jewish version of Christmas rapping where they talk about what it's like to be Jewish through the month of December. And they set it to that song instead.
Titled Christmas.
To me, that means there's like a little bit of cultural resonance when people take the song and try to make it their own or redo the lyrics. Like with Christmas Shoes. Don't see like Christina Aguilera trying to sing it.
A&P just provided me the world's flattest latke.
That's frying in the pan, nice and hot. Ivy, guess what I forgot?
Oh my God. Oh boy.
Oh man.
Oh dear.
So let me take you back to 2000.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go back to 2000.
Good old 2000.
I'm driving in on the highways and byways of Virginia with my new bride. And we have on Wash FM, one of the radio stations that plays Christmas 24 hours a day. And the DJ comes on and says, hey, here's a song. We've been getting requests for this all day long. It's called The Christmas Shoes. And we listen to this song, which is, if you haven't heard it, a little bit controversial for the holidays. It's a song about a young man who's waiting in line to buy a Christmas present for his mother because his mother's dying. And the mean, heartless bastard behind him in line, he doesn't like he's kind of grumpy around Christmas time. But he hears this kid's sob story and he says, oh, I've got to help out this kid. And so he kicks in some money to help this kid buy a pair of shoes for his dying mother. And the coda of the song...
Thank you, God, for killing us.
The coda of this song, I think we have to quote it exactly. Let's not paraphrase. New Song put a lot of effort and thought into writing this. And this is what they came up with. And now I'm blanking on it. Jesus Christ.
It's probably because of that stare you got for going ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Hold on, I'm finding the lyrics for you.
Look up the lyrics for me.
Yes. Two pages of notes, you didn't look up the lyrics.
No, I didn't write down the song because I thought
it had
been...
Would you like me to read you the lyrics?
Yes, please do.
I knew I'd caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out. I knew God had sent me that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
Which is another way of saying... Yeah, I was not really feeling the Christmas mood, but then God decided to kill this boy's mother.
And now I feel good
for
about
me.
Buying
and
presents.
Now I'm feeling great.
Taught me
and
a lesson.
It's get a in horrifying the song.
But the mouse lived.
The point is that Santa Claus saves the mouse, but kills this little boy's mother. Like, murders her dead. And so we go. We goes to my in-laws' house for Christmas, and we say, man, we just heard this horrific song.
And we're recounting it.
Yeah,
you know,
and we're recounting
it. It's insane. It's about shopping, and some poor kid is running around unsupervised when his mother's dying, and... Instead of focusing on the
choir,
fact that the child is dirty and neglected and all that.
I should mention there's a choir of children at the end singing the bit about, sir, will you buy these shoes for my mama, please?
And then the song ends with this little child lisping, I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight. And that's how it ends, is like with a bell and this child lisping away. It's dreadful.
And so we mention this, and my father-in-law just grows ashen and says, that is the most beautiful song that has ever been written. You left coast elitist.
No, cynical left coast elitist, he called us. And dad was saying, and bear in mind, my dad was a naval veteran, had been on nuclear subs in Soviet waters, and he went and then worked in military contracting, as so many military veterans do. So all of his pals are like... former Army Rangers and Marines who had polished human skulls as I'm not making this up. They used to have polished human skulls that they used as like paperweights. And these are men who are generally of a viciously unsentimental turn of mind. And apparently, like, all of them had been reduced to tears by this song because, oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And we get reminders all the time to watch out for those that are more vulnerable than we are. And my dad got so angry at us. He was like, you cynical left coast elitists.
So anyhow,
are you saying he's wrong in that description?
No, that's the thing. No. Is he saying that, and I'm like, was that supposed to mean something you think it's? Dad, why are you acting like we should be offended by this?
Over the ensuing 12 years, I think the Christmas Shoes has garnered its share of fans, has garnered its share of detractors.
Oh, yeah.
They made a movie out of it starring Rob Lowe.
You watched it with my mom for the first time.
Yes.
Because I was out doing something and you were
You were out meeting a friend of yours and I saw it at your mother's house and and I was reduced to tears, but not of the sad variety.
No.
So the first movie is Rob Lowe learns a very important lesson about Christmas when Kimberly Williams' heart explodes.
Yeah.
And a little boy is orphaned.
Yeah.
But the important thing is Rob Lowe knows how to celebrate Christmas now.
Yes.
And then in the second movie, the little boy grows up to be Doogie Howser.
Mm-hmm. And then in the third movie, he's turned to Steve Sanders from Beverly Hills 90210. It's just a long down for him.
That is like the devolution of man.
Wait. There are three Christmas Shoes movies?
Yeah. Yes, there are.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And there are four Christmas Shoes books.
Yes.
Wow.
Did you hear the scare quotes around the word books?
Are those books? Now, I want a clarification. Are those books based on the lyrics or are they novelizations of the movies?
Jason, no. I gave Phil the books as a stocking stuffer 1 year. And I believe I may have read a few chapters of one of them aloud to you one time when I was angry at you. And
we call those days weekdays.
There's a reading guide for them. You know, so you can have it at your book club.
And it's the most banal dreck. It's basically this, in small towns we often lose track of each other in busy times, but we have to remember what's really important, and what's really important is apparently like regurgitating the pap that you find inside of Hallmark cards where the idea of providing for your family is secondary to appreciating your family. And people die and you have to find meaning in their deaths, and it's just too bad that they die, but you know, that's the way it is. As long as you've learned something, it's all good. It's that values free morality where you, I've learned something important. It really makes you think, and I can't help but think that the people who founded Upworthy were probably raised on these books. You know, we killed this child's mother at Christmas time. Wait till you see what happened next. And it went from there.
Wait till you see what Rob Lowe does next.
Oh, yeah. No, it's awful. And the writing is pedestrian. And I
believe the books were based on the song and the movies were based on the books.
Yes, that's how it works.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So they're not novelizations of the movies.
No.
Right.
You can't create movies like that out of thin air, friend.
No. Clearly.
No, and apparently in an interview, Ian Ziering was like, look, the reason I did that Christmas Shoes movies is because SAG has really great insurance, but you have to work so many hours a year in order to get the top tier insurance. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the insurance, so I did the movie.
Thanks, Obama.
Wow.
But I appreciate that he was like really upfront with, look, I just did this because I get really great insurance. Because, you know, who can't relate to the whole, well, you know, the job sometimes, but the benefits.
There's a lot of killing that goes on in those Christmas Shoe movies.
Someone is
always
dying.
Someone is always dying.
It's like the body count is
well, that's what
book.
I want to see at Christmas, too. Is dying. Yeah. Dying.
Well, every Christmas song that doesn't feature good death is really a Christmas song wasted, which I believe is why Patrick Swayze Christmas and the Christmas Shoes are the two greatest Christmas songs ever written.
See, this is why I watch Die Hard, for your body count, your action movie, your Beethoven.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah.
I watched The Lion in Winter, Christmas every
But
year.
The mouse lived.
Yeah, but the mouse lived.
Can I just say that reading your spouse from the Christmas Shoes book has got to be the lowest method of intramarital fighting that I have ever heard. And that's rough.
And poor Phil was cooking at the time, too, so he couldn't just leave. He had to keep doing what he was doing.
Well, he could have just left, but he
didn't. No. Phil is a cook with principles.
There might be seven of these books.
Oh, my
what?
God.
What?
What?
Wow.
I thought I stopped at four.
Well, the author has written seven books that all start with the Christmas something.
Now there's I'm looking at Donna Van Leary.
Blessing, Hope, Promise, Secret, Journey, and Note.
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There's the Christmas Note. Yeah, that's the right. They came. Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, no.
I am a cynical left coast elitist. I had no idea she had continued after the Christmas Promise.
The Christmas what is the Christmas secret? Is the Christmas secret that these books aren't very
How
good?
Many people Do have me? To die to make this holiday happen?
The Christmas secret starts with a struggling young single mother saving the life of an elderly woman.
Oh, boy. Hey, let's saving the life. That's different.
That can't work.
Oh, someone has to die.
Someone's going to die soon. Yeah. Although, you know,
there's
what?
A war on Christmas, all right, and Donovan Lear is the general sending people into the artillery.
So what's really interesting is, you know, like when on Wikipedia you can go through and find exhaustively detailed biographies on almost every character in the DC or the Marvel universe. You have an author who has managed to knock out over 10 fictional books, and all it is Donna Van Leary is an American author of fiction, primarily novels about Christmas. Like, nobody on Wikipedia wants to admit that they've read these books or have any idea what they're about or has any.
That sounds like Steve's IMDb entry.
I think we've revealed some of the editorial biases of Wikipedia.
No, I think we have a incomparable listener challenges to fill out the biography of Donna Van Leary.
Oh, boy.
Oh my gosh, yes, please. And if you can do the bibliographies too, please write up summaries for the Christmas books. They don't have to be accurate. They just have to be.
Yeah, make sure the body count is well accounted for.
Is listed in each one, yes.
That needs to be accurate. Wikipedia has standards.
So let's summarize here. We have said terrible things about A Wonderful Holiday.
No, we've said terrible things about people singing about A Wonderful Holiday. Yeah. There's a difference.
You know, honestly, I was a little down on this holiday, but now not so much because I heard that kid died. So,
kid dies in the second one. His mom dies in the first one. A different child dies in the second one. In the third one, a mother is mowed down in a Christmas tree market.
Yeah.
The kid lives throughout. He becomes a doctor.
Well, he would.
It ends happily.
But he leaves a trail of bodies wherever he goes.
He's not a very good doctor.
No.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in a hospital as a kid, so he just feels comfortable there. Mm-hmm.
And then he joined a circus.
Sometimes you gotta kill the things you love.
He always enjoyed clowning as a child.
It's a shame that Buttons, a clown, did not
release a Christmas
his own
album.
Christmas album. Yes.
I'll be home for Christmas, but I'm on the run for murder.
But I'm on the lam.
All right. Well, what have we learned? Nothing.
Not a thing.
Nothing.
I think there were some pretty good recommendations for different.
Before it all got ugly, yes, there were.
Yeah,
there were some
very
lovely things.
You kept us relentlessly focused on the positive for a while. That helped.
Yeah. Yeah. You kept it from going off the rails, man.
For a little while. That was said the man climbing from the wreckage.
The rails pointed directly to the negativity.
I think in this podcast, Jason, you are the cat who was thrown out of the house late at night. And in this metaphor, I think that, let's say Erica is the mouse that lives, I guess.
All right. That's fine. Who's the shoes?
Steve is the shoes.
I'll be the shoes, sure.
And
I'll be Christina Aguilera.
And Monty is the cuckolded dad who saw mommy kissing Lore, and Lisa is Olivia Newton-John. I guess that makes me John Travolta.
Wow.
Well, we look forward to your next career revival.
Would you like to stay for a while, Phil?
I think I need to go.
Here, have another glass. I've put another log on the fire, Phil.
My mitochondrions are off the chart.
My pilot is waiting for me. No, honestly, I'm not interested.
Since Phil just named everybody who was on, I feel like I don't even need to say goodbye to you by name.
And you guys wonder why I don't do Christmas stuff.
Just leave, all of you.
I feel more festive.
You've done enough.
All right, we've done enough damage here. We spread the holiday cheer. We spread it. In some cases, we smashed it. But it was a lot of fun, and now it's over. And so I'd like to thank all my guests again, who Phil just identified by name and their roles here, especially Steve the Shoes.
Christmas is ruined! Yay!
Yay!
Pretty early in the year this time.
And so we say goodbye to you. And thank you, listener, and wish you all a Merry Christmas. We hope you'll tune in next week for something special from us. And to sing us out tonight, a very special musical number by Steve Lutz.
Oh, no.
Right, Steve? I can play that at the end, right?
If you might want to throw it in the After Dark.
Oh, is it that bad?
Well, right. No, it's not.
Maybe
that
we
bad.
Should just say that we're simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
We are.
Simply having...
A wonderful Christmas time.
Simply!
Goodbye, everybody.
Having a wonderful Christmas time.
Wonderful Christmas time.
Lights, please.
bowl of slop. It's not my fault he's so fat, but he was sure pissed. That's how I ended up on his naughty list. And if you'd been there, we could have talked him out of it. And I'd have that brand new sweater with long sleeves. Instead, all Santa left me was this lump of coal. Where were you, baby, Christmas Eve? Made some punch, 10 parts whiskey, 1 part eggnog, and it was my lunch. For dessert, I had a quart of Mad Dog, and when I came to, I was on the cell block, wearing nothing but one Christmas stocking. And if you'd been there, we could have done something much more constructive, and my head would be so sore beneath the weed. Instead, and so I say, where were you, baby, Christmas Eve? What's some other guy stuffing your stocking? What's some other guy frosting your sugar cookie? What's some other guy putting his Yule log in your fireplace? What's some other guy hanging his balls on your tree? Oh, I got bored, so I went and found a party where some drinks were poured. Then someone must have slipped me a Mickey, and I wish I'd caught on. Every guest was a he before Mickey slipped one into me. And if you'd been there, we could have had some. Instead, I just feel dirty, though my chimney's spick and span. And so I say,